In recent decades, Rwanda and neighboring Burundi have become synonymous in our minds with two things: high population and genocide. They are the two most densely populated countries in Africa and among the most densely populated in the world. Genocide in Rwanda produced the third largest body count among the world's genocides since 1950, topped only by the killings of the 1970s in Cambodia and of 1971 in Bangladesh. Burundi's genocide was on a smaller scale than Rwanda's, yielding only a few hundred thousand victims. We have come to associate genocide in Rwanda and Burundi with ethnic violence. Before we can understand what else besides ethnic violence was involved, we need to begin with some background on the genocide's course, the history leading up to it, and their usual interpretation that I shall now sketch, which runs as follows. The populations of both countries consist of only two major groups, called the Hutu, originally about 85% of the population, and the Tutsi, about 15%. To a considerable degree, the two groups traditionally had filled different economic roles, the Hutu being principally farmers, the Tutsi, pastoralists. It is often stated that the two groups look different, Hutu being on the average shorter, stockier, darker, flat-nosed, thick-lipped, and square-jawed, while Tutsi are taller, more slender, paler-skinned, thin-lipped, and narrow-chinned. The Hutu are usually assumed to have settled Rwanda and Burundi first, while the Tutsi arrived later and established themselves as overlords over the Hutu. When German and then Belgian colonial governments took over, they found it expedient to govern through Tutsi intermediaries, whom they considered racially superior to Hutu because of Tutsi's paler skins and supposedly more European appearance. In the 1930s, the Belgians required everyone to start carrying an identity card, classifying themselves as Hutu or Tutsi, thereby markedly increasing the ethnic distinction that had already existed. Independence came to both countries in 1962. As independence approached, Hutu in both countries began struggling to overthrow Tutsi domination and to replace it with Hutu domination. The outcome in Burundi was that the Tutsi succeeded in retaining their domination after Hutu rebellions in 1965 and 1970 to 1972, followed by Tutsi killings of a few hundred thousand Hutu. In Rwanda, however, the Hutu gained the upper hand and killed 10,000 to 20,000 Tutsi in 1963. Over the course of the next two decades, up to 1 million Rwandans, especially Tutsi, fled into exile in neighboring countries, from which they periodically attempted to invade Rwanda, resulting in further killings of Tutsi by Hutu, until in 1973 the Hutu general Habyarimana staged a coup against the previous Hutu-dominated government and decided to leave the Tutsi in peace. Under Habyarimana, Rwanda prospered for 15 years and became a favorite recipient of foreign aid from overseas donors, who could point to a peaceful country with improving health, education, and economic indicators. Unfortunately, Rwanda's economic improvement became halted by drought and accumulating environmental problems, capped in 1989 by a steep decline in world prices for Rwanda's principal exports of coffee and tea, austerity measures imposed by the World Bank, and a drought in the south. Habyarimana took yet another attempted Tutsi invasion in October 1990 as the pretext for rounding up or killing Hutu dissidents and Tutsi all over Rwanda in order to strengthen his own faction's hold on Rwanda. The civil wars displaced 1 million Rwandans into settlement camps, from which desperate young men were easily recruited into militias. In 1993, a peace agreement signed at Arusha called for power sharing. Still, businessmen close to Habyarimana imported 581,000 machetes for distributing to Hutu for killing Tutsi, because machetes were cheaper than guns. However, Habyarimana's actions proved insufficient for Hutu extremists. They began training their militias, importing weapons, and preparing to exterminate Tutsi. Matters came to a head on the evening of April 6, 1994, when the Rwandan presidential jet plane, carrying Rwanda's president Habyarimana, and also, as a last-minute passenger, Burundi's new provisional president back from a meeting in Tanzania, was shot down by two missiles, killing everyone on board. It remains uncertain to this day by whom the plane was shot down. whoever the perpetrators, Hutu extremists, within an hour of the plane's downing, began carrying out plans to kill the Hutu prime minister and other moderate members of the democratic opposition. Once Hutu opposition had been eliminated, the extremists took over the government and radio and set out to exterminate Rwanda's Tutsi, who still numbered about a million. The lead in the killings was initially taken by Hutu army extremists using guns. They soon turned to efficiently organizing Hutu civilians. Moderate Hutu government officials who tried to prevent killings were intimidated, bypassed, replaced, or killed. The largest massacres, each of hundreds or thousands of Tutsi at one site, took place when Tutsi took refuge in churches, schools, hospitals, government offices, or those other supposed safe places, and were then surrounded and hacked or burned to death. The genocide involved large-scale Hutu civilian participation. The killings involved much savagery, including chopping off arms and legs of intended victims, chopping breasts off women, throwing children down into wells, and widespread rape. While the killings were organized by the extremist Hutu government and largely carried out by Hutu civilians, institutions and outsiders from whom one might have expected better behavior played an important permissive role. In particular, numerous leaders of Rwanda's Catholic Church either failed to protect Tutsi or else actively assembled them and turned them over to killers. The United Nations already had a small peacekeeping force in Rwanda, which it proceeded to order to retreat. The French government sent a peacekeeping force, which sided with the genocidal Hutu government, and the United States government declined to intervene. Within 6 weeks, an estimated 800,000 Tutsi, or 11% of Rwanda's total population, had been killed. A Tutsi-led rebel army termed the Rwandan Patriotic Front, RPF, began military operations against the government within a day of the start of the genocide. The genocide ended in each part of Rwanda only with the arrival of that RPF army, which declared complete victory on July 18, 1994. It is generally agreed that the RPF army was disciplined and did not enlist civilians to murder, but it did carry out reprisal killings on a much smaller scale than the genocide to which it was responding. The RPF set up a new government, emphasized national conciliation, and urged Rwandans to think of themselves as Rwandans rather than as Hutu or Tutsi. After the RPF victory, about 2 million people, mostly Hutu, fled into exile in neighboring countries, especially the Congo and Tanzania, while about 750,000 former exiles, mostly Tutsi, returned to Rwanda from neighboring countries to which they had fled.